Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Welcome to episode 23 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We don't take ourselves or the game too seriously. We just love rugby. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, Tim.
Right, so you ready for this then, gents?
Yes.
Should we pod? Let's do this.
Let's pod.
Did you play at the weekend?
Did I play at the weekend? Yes, I played at the weekend. Played loose head, tight head and hooker.
Oh, my word.
Do you know what?
The holy trinity.
I got absolutely screwed playing loose head. I was so angry because I can't play loose head. It's really difficult. Obviously listeners don't know me, but I'm not a front rower. I'm a second rower or back rower.
If you've got an image in your head, JB does not fit what that image might be. Certainly does not look like a front rower.
Furious. There are props who go their entire career without ever swapping sides in the scrum. And yet they just tell me, yeah, can you do a bit of loose head? Yeah, I guess.
Phil,
no, I can't.
How are Sedgley Park getting on?
Well, I didn't play. Because I'm injured again.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Bad one as well.
Previous injury. I shouldn't have been playing the last few weeks, actually.
Don't play with big boys.
I know.
Stop it.
Maybe one day I'll learn my lesson.
Do you remember that programme 999 back in the day with Michael Burke? Let's have a reconstruction of what happened. What happened, Phil?
The actual injury was about 3 months ago now. But
Phil got injured. Came back to play too soon.
Yeah, and this week I saw the specialist.
It was muddy and slippy.
I saw the specialist and he was like, what on earth are you doing? He's like Brian Moore. What are you doing?
I think watching Phil play rugby is like watching those episodes of Casualty when it's like, the equivalent would be like, oh, look, there's a farmer there and he's farming in icy conditions with a sharp spike.
I'm sure that lake's fully frozen over and not going to break at all.
Phil studs are loose or something.
Impending doom. Yeah. Oh, well. More time to prepare for the latest podcast and talk rugby. And let's do that, in fact. And it was the Oscars on Sunday night. So to sort of get us back in Six Nations mode and also sort of reflect the fact the Oscars have been going on, we're going to celebrate right now the Snoskers.
Catchy.
On the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, this is the Snoskers, the Six Nations Oscars. So our first category, ladies and gentlemen, is for Best Male. The nominees for Best Male are Sergio Parise from Italy, Wesley Fofana from France, Mike Brown from England, Johnny Sexton from Ireland. Couldn't really think of a Welsh player that stood out, so we've gone for Nigel Owens for Wales. And same for Scotland, really, so we went Kelly Brown. He's been playing really well for Saracens. Surplus to requirements for Scotland. So who do you think has been best male so far in the Six Nations, gents?
Mike Brown.
Mike Brown on form, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Brown has been absolute standout.
He really has. He surprised me how good he's been as well. Well done. And it goes to the Snosker for best male. Goes to Mike Brown. Well done, well done. Best director of rugby. So who's it to be? Scott Johnson, Warren Gatland, Stuart Lancaster, Philippe Saint-André, Joe Schmidt or Jacques Brunel?
Now, if Italy had actually got the result they deserved against Scotland, I'd be pushing for Jacques Brunel. I think they've got a good mix of forwards and backs and they've been playing some good rugby.
What I like about Italy is they've progressed their style. It was all about the front five, but actually they've got a broader game now. Yeah. They're not so reliant on just having a front five.
Yeah, and they're developing some good young backs. Campagnaro. The outside centre looks very good. Looks very,
very skinny,
dangerous.
That's the other thing.
Needs to put in a few kg, but he's only 20.
That's true. It's a three-way tie, I'd say.
Go on.
Schmidt, Lancaster, and Gatland.
Well, there we go. And all to play for, I guess. Well, that's a tied Oscar. Well done.
They'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, they'll be pleased.
They can't take it away from you. Yes, they can.
Best costume design. So this obviously is the favourite kit. Now, we talked about this at length on a previous podcast, but has your mind changed at all?
Is this a straight shot between Italy home and Italy away?
Well, no, France. I love France. I would put my hat in the ring, and I love the France away kit as well.
And the French training stash as well. They're like off-field
garments.
Have you
seen Canterbury Crusaders Adidas kit as well? Adidas are having a sublime year with kit.
Crusaders, the chainmail one.
Chainmail?
No, they had one with the Adidas stripes across the back.
Ah, it's got chainmail on the front.
Well, yeah. I haven't really seen the front, I've only seen the back. Oh, I take it back. Adidas generally are having a very good year.
Yes, agreed.
But is it to be Italy or France then?
Italy away kit for me, the white.
Right. Oh, you got a casting vote here.
Italy home for me.
So Italy win. Yeah. It's Italy win. Well done. They win the Snosker for best costume design. And they've come up on stage and want to thank Adidas. And just their Italian suave. And best sound. This goes for the best national anthem of all the Six Nations countries so far. No, you've got to put your own patriotism aside, which isn't hard for me and Phil, because God Save the Queen will come bottom. But you, for JB, what's the best anthem in the Six Nations?
Hey, I'm consistent with this. I think the French. I've always said that. Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Jay. Mm-hmm.
I've got very much a soft spot for the Welsh anthem, I've got to say, particularly on home nights. But
Damn it!
France. France, well done, you win best sound. And, in Oscars, best score is for a best original song or soundtrack to a film. However, in the Snoskers, best score is best try that you've seen in the Six Nations so far.
Yep.
What do you reckon? What's it to be?
I'd go for Bonneval. France versus Italy.
Oh, that was a great try.
The intercept by Fofana to Huguet, who you thought had the gas but didn't quite, got chased all the way into the corner, and then a nice little offload inside.
I can't think of anything better. I did quite like the line Burrell ran, but it wasn't the most exciting of tries.
The Mike Brown to Danny Kerr.
That was the Harlequins
1-2-3 with Rob Shaw
to
Mike Brown to Danny Kerr.
To Danny Kerr. That was a special try as well.
It was a nice try.
But I thought I'd go with Bonneval. Well done, Bonneval.
Yep.
And JB has insisted that we branch this out broader than Six Nations and have a best actor category. Take it away, JB. So, best actor. This is rugby from the season so far.
So far for best actor, we've got Sam Dickinson for his role in Ow, I'm Really Hurt.
Featuring Jonathan Thomas,
yeah.
We've got Dean Ryan for We're Getting Better. Freddie Burns in his role in I Still Care About Gloucester.
Did you see him at the weekend?
No.
Oh, God. He really doesn't care. He was awful.
He was just not there, was he?
And last but not least, and best actor is Louis Picamall for Well Done, Ref. Excellent decision.
And that concludes the Snoskers on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We'll talk more about the Six Nations and the upcoming matches this weekend as the Premiership takes a break this weekend. But, of course, it was another round of Aviva Premiership matches at the weekend. So what was your highlight? What did you see and want to talk about tonight, Phil?
The last 30 minutes of Northampton-Gloucester was excellent. And Northampton really turned it on. It was 13-all with 30 minutes to go. And the power of Gloucester's pack and Stephen Myler controlling the game and the running lines of the backs, like all three combined to really, really turn it up and really.
And who is this kid, Stevenson?
Stevenson, the 12.
Yeah.
Tom. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Stevenson. We talked about him on a previous podcast as one to watch. We have,
I was watching the highlights. I thought, Christ, he's had a great game.
Pretty special, actually, the number of players that keep coming through into the first team. So they have so many internationals away. And great young players coming and filling their shoes.
They do get some big performances out of players you don't really think of as big names.
The front row players that they've brought through this season.
Waller,
Haywood, Mercer.
Well, the other Waller as well.
And the other Waller. Yeah, they all look really good. Like, really do a job.
Sam Dickinson. They got that.
Signed him from Rotherham.
Yeah, he's a bit older.
Jamie Elliott.
But they do
quality
this.
Quality winger.
What I think that they do quite well, and they did it a few seasons ago, is they seem to pick up the best players from bad teams. Phil Dowson would be a classic one from Newcastle.
Luther Burrell?
Yeah, Burrell.
Yeah. They seem to be
well,
very
although
good.
That wasn't the best player from worst team. That was a player who Sale didn't rate.
Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
They just did not rate Luther Burrell, hardly played him. They wanted him to stay. They did offer him a renewed contract, but he said, no, I'm off.
Great decision as well.
Yeah, great decision. And, well, Sam Dickinson from Rotherham has come straight from the Championship into their first team and has been a really important player. Yeah. Samu Manoah was playing for San Francisco in local USA rugby.
Golden Gate, San Francisco, yeah. Golden Gates.
Amazing.
Team.
That's unbelievable. They've got quality scouts, but clearly a great academy as well.
I didn't realise they've only lost one game in the Premiership this campaign.
And one draw, I think, against Leicester early on.
Do you know, when I look at Jim Mallinder, I like how calm and he always seems very fair and very...
He's like a guru.
Well-spoken. Yeah, like a guru. But I bet he's absolutely psycho when he goes... I bet
he doesn't lose it. But when he does lose it...
He's like the opposite of Alan Pardew. He'll never lose it in public. But I bet it's just a look, isn't it, when he gives you those eyeballs. What did you see, Phil, that you wanted to... JB, that you wanted to...
Bath Saracens, because... what a display from Jack Berger. Did you see his yellow card?
Yes,
I did, yeah.
Absolute farce.
No, I disagree with you.
I
just want to say this as well, right? You can always get in touch with us see what we're saying as well at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I just want to say, JB, could you stop using the our collective Twitter account to make totally... No, JB only comments you were ranting about that Jack Berger yellow card, and I think you were the only person who thought it was definitely not.
Yeah, if the Twitter account is ever misspelled, like arguing that some illegal challenge by Jack Berger wasn't illegal, then it's definitely JB and you should just ignore it.
Rugby is a game about passion and commitment.
Passion!
Yeah.
Commitment!
Pride! All those good things, okay? Now, when Jack Berger was yellow carded, he was yellow carded for a high tackle, and we'll come to the high tackle in a moment. But what actually happened is two players had made the tackle. Jack Berger had to jump over two players to make a tackle. How much must you want to make that tackle to actually jump over the two players? That's what I want to say. And when he made the high tackle, it wasn't... It was a stationary target, and yes, he did go high. He grabbed his head, but he grabbed his head. It wasn't like a clothesline.
I know what you're saying. I wouldn't have been unhappy if it had been penalty sufficient. Get back, because like you say, there was no recklessness in the arm. He grabbed him.
Of course, you know how it was spotted.
Yeah, that's another matter in itself.
That I'm totally with you, JB. Just in case anyone didn't see the Bath Saracens game, just recap what happened.
Yeah, so Jack Berger leaps about 5 foot in the air and 8 foot across to make a tackle which has already been made. After the player goes dead, the referee looks up and he looked at the big screen, looking at the highlights, and he sees the Jack Berger tackle. Then he turns on his little microphone and said, oh, can you look for foul play, please? And which, by the letter of the law, then transpires that Jack Berger gets a yellow card.
I do have a problem with that. Because actually, as I think Austin Healey pointed out on the commentary quite rightly, Luke Pearce was stood 5 yards away from it, looking directly at the tackle.
Yeah.
He didn't spot it. His assistant referees didn't spot it. And it was only the reaction of the Bath crowd looking at the highlight on the big screen. I mean, arguably you could go, well, it was the right decision, but I felt uncomfortable with the manner it had.
Yeah, rugby is a real-time game. It isn't a slow-motion game. So, you know, I think if you're going to review these things, maybe it should also have to be in real-time. Because it wasn't an infringement. It was by the letter of the law, but it wasn't an infringement.
It was an infringement. It was a high tackle.
But let's just say, and again, trying to be positive and focusing on the positive, what a massive defensive performance from Saracens.
Incredible defence. And the number of turnovers and penalties that he won from their work on the floor was exceptional, because Bath are a good team. And to nullify them for most of the game like they did.
Really, really important was the performance from... Mr. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how good he was at fly half. When I heard the news that Sir Charlie was out, I thought, oh, hang on, this could be awkward. Well, because they had to put Duncan Taylor on the wing, and he's not a natural winger and all the rest of it. He played magnificently.
Well, we'd already predicted that Bath were going to win at home with probably fewer internationals away.
And to be fair, I think Bath probably had the better Saracens up front. Mm. In the set piece.
Yeah, Atwood made some spectacular tackles.
Atwood looked really like good.
But that defence was just... And again, Jack Berger is the example of everything that won that game for Saracens just, and he's mad.
The bit of it when I thought, hang on, Bath might be in trouble here, was when Alex Goode dropped a goal in between the 22, I think it was between 22 and the 10. It was I thought, oh, hang on a second, if that's what Alex Goode is doing. And also, how upset must you be if you're Gloucester and you look across the road and you see a second row like Dave Atwood, who you let go, and now your pack is, you know, basically made out of paper.
I'll tell you what, I've got this little clip of Alex Goode following the Saracens Bath match at the Rec.
Oh dear.
And, well, yeah, you know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to Talking Rugby for the audio for this. Now, I suspect that someone at Saracens might be having a little word in Alex Goode's ear just on media training. Just imagine if this was an international or Premiership footballer who said what Alex Goode said after the Saracens Bath match.
I was really happy with my performance, individually, but the team were great. You know, when you come with a team, it's got full of energy and just willingness to help you out and to run hard and to put and defensively. It makes it really easy. And apart from cramping a bit at the end, maybe, and running like a bit of a mincer.
Oh dear!
Oh dear!
Oh no!
Now, I'm sure Alex Goode did not mean that in any sort of derogatory fashion, but can you imagine if that was an international footballer that had said that? That would be on every back page.
Yeah, I'm surprised that a charity like Stonewall, someone like that, hasn't jumped on this and hasn't made
a bigger
deal.
I'm actually surprised he's not got some blow up bigots outside his house and protesters and been forced to apologise and all the rest of it. It's one of those comments which actually is pretty harmless, but if the wrong people get hold of it with the wrong intentions...
You can't just use phrases like that whenever you want.
No, I don't think you can.
Because it's not that he meant any offence by it, but it can cause offence.
Yeah, yeah, and we're far better than football when it comes to these sort of issues.
Absolutely.
I think it was harmless. I just shouldn't do it again.
It's just surprising more than anything.
Yeah. But I thought it was worthy of bringing up anyway, because I suspect someone will have a little quiet word in his ear, but I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Yeah, besides, he was running like a girl, not like a mincer.
Sale ground out another win, or was it that Wales Wasps managed to just throw away another possible
and
win?
They missed the kick.
They are self-imploding, Wasps are. Their last sort of three or four defeats, probably aggregate score, they're only minus six. And they were in a position to win that one. They're just throwing it away at the moment.
Yeah, I didn't think they were a particularly good team to start with. I think next year with their new recruits, they'll be a decent proposition.
They've got some quality, mind you.
They've got some good players.
I don't think the story here is about Wasps imploding. I think it's about that Sale win.
Sale have gone down there and ground out a good result in difficult circumstances.
Say what you like about Steve Diamond, than I often do, but... if you give him 15 players, he tends to do his best with those 15. Now, whether he can keep the 15 around for any more than 80 minutes, that's a completely different question altogether. But fair play to him. It was a hell of a win.
Yeah, he's always nervous about away games, isn't he? Because
he might escape.
Might escape or just pass a message under the away under the home team door.
Like the Nigerian...
Come and get me.
Like the Nigerian and the 21 football team, when they all came over for visas and ran off.
Yeah, there was something with the... Commonwealth Games in Manchester as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
One of the teams, 20 athletes arrived in Manchester, only four went back.
And London Irish were nilled for the first time since 1997 at Sandy,
really?
At
wow.
Sandy Park. Yeah.
Good stats.
Wow, yes. Excellent stat. Henry Slade looked good.
Mm.
I think he's the future. I really like him. Really like him.
Good player.
And Exeter finally...
They're back on track now.
But who's going to get fifth and sixth? Who's going to get if there is a European competition, who's going to get the Heineken Cup spots? If you have to put your money on it right now.
Quins?
I think Quins will get
Quins
fifth.
Quins will get fifth.
Can Exeter catch
Sale? I think. Just looking at those names above them.
Sale have got some tough fixtures. They've got to play Leicester, Northampton and Harlequins.
Wasps, Exeter and Sale and just... disregard who they've got left to play, which is silly thing to say, but they are the best of those three teams.
I think Sale might hold on to Sale.
It's Sale to lose.
The 8 points clear of Wasps.
But Exeter are definitely the better team.
Results haven't demonstrated that they are.
No, I'm not sure they are.
I think Sale this season have looked really good.
See, I feel that Exeter have come off a really hard run of games, so I, you know, that you could put that points difference down to who they played.
We will see. But anyway, there's a break for 3 weeks in the Premiership, so we'll come back to that at a later podcast. But in terms of the transfer merry-go-round, players coming and going, there's not been that many, but there's been a few. Luke Narraway has been added to next season's squad for London Irish.
Is there much excitement about that in the London Irish camp?
I would have thought so. He's a quality player. Been out in France. He'll fight out number eight with Tom Guest. They're losing Chris Hallowfear. Speaking of number eights, there's one little rumour floating around that Imanol Arunoduke is going to be coming to England for part of his career.
How old is Arunoduke now?
34.
I'd love to see him.
Now, I'd love that, especially as he once said when he was asked, what is it you dislike about English people? And he said, they're English. Be interesting to see him coming over this side. I'd, even if it's in his twilight, I'd still love to see him over here.
Do you know... I don't know if this is still the case, but when he started playing for Biarritz, he'd only ever sign 1 year contracts because he might need a quick release to go and run the family farm. I don't know if that's changed. But that was in his early years.
Yeah, I think his dad's got a bit more life in him, judging by the way he ran on the pitch and started trying to deck the guy that had a pop at Arunoduke.
He could be in a contender for best supporting role. Still no Freddie Burns news.
Yeah,
I think the longer it drags on and the more that they see this Welsh kid, the less likely there is for a move.
I don't know. Wasps apparently have been in for him, but he's already decided he's moving elsewhere. Thought to be Leicester. They haven't announced it yet.
Mm. Why? What's the advantage of not announcing it?
If it's Leicester and they've already signed him, Cockerell will be looking for the Tippex.
Not this guy. Definitely not this guy.
Sound what? No, not here.
Speaking of Leicester players and transfers, Marwan Kukash, who is the owner of Salford City Reds Super League rugby league team, claims they will get some British and Irish Lions rugby players and that they will sign Manu Tuilagi.
That's a hell of a signing.
It would be one hell of a signing. I could really see him do a job in rugby league, wouldn't he?
Where would you play him?
Anywhere.
If anyone knows anything about league, let us know where he'd play, because we don't know.
Anywhere, just give him the ball.
Yeah.
This can't happen. I mean, basically, he's obviously got very deep pockets, and this is one way he's going to get around the salary cap, because in the Rugby League, Super League, there's a salary cap, but one way you can get around that is by signing players in cross-code deals.
Ah, so kind of
right?
Like the Aviva excluded player.
Yeah, and is that why Wigan can afford so much on Andy Powell?
Yeah.
Apparently it's a £300,000 contract.
Yeah, I heard it was a huge
deal.
Which
is stupid, because he's playing rugby league.
He's rubbish at rugby league.
You could probably buy Wakefield, I mean, not the team, the town, for £300,000.
I can't speak!
It's going to be yellow card! I can't speak! We all can't speak!
Wow.
But the Tigers chief exec has said only Bill Gates could afford Manu Tuilagi.
I simply don't believe that. I simply don't believe that only the richest private individual could afford Manu Tuilagi.
Did you not enjoy that as like light-hearted hyperbole?
I thought it was a bit silly.
I thought it was a good response.
I'd like him to put an actual figure on it.
I think I'm going to check this, but Marwan Kukash, the owner of Salford City Reds, has got a brilliant Twitter handle.
There's a parody account.
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
Yeah.
Was it Dr...
Dr. Marwan K. Dr. Marwank. I thought that was real. Okay, fair enough. Did you know the face on the Red Devil of Salford City Reds this season is the face of Marwan Kukash, the owner?
No.
Yep.
It's not.
Yep.
Tell me it's not. No, not having it.
Wow.
And I happen to know that as part of the community work that Salford City Reds have been trying to do in schools and stuff, they've been banned from Catholic schools because the logo is too scary as a devil face.
Oh, yeah. God. Kids in Catholic schools see a lot more scary things than the Salford City Reds devil, that's for sure.
So basically, Tigers CEO said there's absolutely no chance of Manu Tuilagi being signed to Salford City Reds. So I wondered, a little quick one, what is there more chance of happening than of Manu Tuilagi going to Super League? there's more chance of Dean Ryan saying Worcester didn't play very well in a post-match interview.
No chance of that. We're a world-class team. We've beaten Oyonnax, who have beaten some of the top French teams. So
Worcester Warriors have beaten a club that have beaten some of the top clubs in the top 14.
More chance of Scott Quinnell doing a motivational speech without mentioning dragons being unleashed.
I've unleashed the dragon!
More chance of Wales beating one of the Southern Hemisphere nations to win the World Cup next year.
Ooh, that's not funny. there's not much chance of him leaving.
More chance than
of Kelly Brown playing for Scotland.
More chance of JB doing a well-reasoned tweet from the rugby podcast account.
Correctly spelt and punctuated.
Well, just you wait for my law changes. Just you wait, and then you'll see what craziness is.
All right, well, let's move on, because our favourite Aussie, everyone's favourite Aussie, the Honey Badger, is back on the rugby podcast right now. And thank you very much to everyone that's posted this little link to us. The memorable quotes of Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger, have been celebrated online, and there have been some translations done as well, which we'll get to. But let's just enjoy some of the Honey Badger, Nick Cummins, the winger for Australia and Western Force's best moments.
Nick Cummins, how did it feel to be back out at NIB Stadium tonight?
NIB. Mate, it's bloody outstanding. You know that, buddy. See you blue. Just gets right up, yeah, and gives you the strength. Yeah, mate, I was looking right up a drain pipe in one of them runs there, but I think he was huffing and puffing, and he did well. He always does. He's a tough rooster, and sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually, when he got up after scoring that try.
And hanging out for a feast after a solid training session.
Oh, I'm going to have a truckload of pudding, and old mum's good on the cook too, so dad's got the tucker ready over there, and mum and dad are going to work together and form a massive feed, and going to come in and dominate it.
And here's the Wallabies and Western Force wingers' latest, back to pre-season training and back on the mic.
Last year was a bit how you going, but there's a couple of big hoolers getting about. I think I've got about half their names down pat now, but mate, we're just more focused on treading softly and carrying a big stick, so I think that's what we'll do.
And that clip didn't even mention all his talk of pies. Give himself a pie. A bit of meat pie.
Now, here's something funny, right? It's undoubtedly offensive to certain groups that you would say sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage. There's every stereotype going there possible.
Sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually, when he got up after scoring that try.
But doesn't it just show, as long as you've got an accent, everything's funny? If we were to say, you're good at accents, Tim, do the Alex Good quote, but in an Aussie accent. And then all of a sudden, if Nick Cummins said that, hilarious.
Yeah, it makes it really easy. And apart from cramping a bit at the end, maybe, and running like a bit of a mincer.
Imagine Nick Cummins saying that. Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. Good old bloke.
Bloody cramping a bit and bloody, ran like a bit of a mincer and, got off and got myself a meat pie. Yeah, fair enough. So we've got a bit of translation here. Can you work out the translation of Nick Cummins? You gave a lot of pill to the badge, which was good for you, mate.
Pill ball.
To the badge.
To the honey badger.
No. Yes, fine. You passed the ball to me several times. That was very considerate.
Oh, I was going to go badges in, like, we got a lot of...
The boys were on it like seagulls at a tip, mate.
They were very... Hang on. They were very enthusiastic to get to what they were going for.
Yes, my colleagues displayed exceptional enthusiasm. Mm.
Yes.
I just saw the line, pin my ears back, and ended up bagging a bit of mead in the corner there, which was tops.
Okay, he's gone to a nightclub on the pull.
Yes, you're right. No, he scored a try in the corner, which was pleasing. Lucky for me, every bugger fell over and I got a gig.
Got a job?
People injured in the Wallaby squad, and he gets called up.
Yes! My old man woke me up in the morning. He was going off like a bag of cats.
He was attacked by cats.
He was happy about something?
Yes, he was delighted that he got...
Going off like what?
A bag of cats.
Nice.
Another option for that is, if I end up getting a gig, mate, I'll be going off like a cut snake. These are actual quotes from Nick Cummins.
That's a horrible visual.
If I end up getting a gig, mate, I'll be going off like a cut snake. That's, should the coaching staff permit me to play, I will be most excited. Oh, yeah, there was one brilliant clip as well. You're as tough as woodpecker lips. Brilliant. So we salute you, the Honey Badger, one more time. And we'll put a little link to that video at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Time for a 15 now. You ready for this?
Yeah.
We do a 15. So we've got a dream team right now. This is where we dream up a topic and then pick a 15 players to fill the shirts, which if you agree, disagree, have someone else you want to suggest, then as I mentioned, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, have your say and we can give you a shout next time round. The dream team for today is one which JB came up with. Boring 15, JB.
Indeed. Players are kind of stuck around. You're not too sure why. They weren't bad, but they weren't good. Kind of, yeah.
Or, and this is how I sort of interpreted the topic, boring 15, was like players which they could be exceptional, could even be world-class players, but maybe just a very functional and pragmatic kind of style players.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, the boring 15.
Boring 15. Here we go, then. We'll start in the front row, then.
I thought this is pretty difficult, actually, the front row, because front rows are intrinsically boring.
Yeah, but the ones who are like household names are the ones who stand out for some reason.
Keane
like,
Healy, the DJ.
Exactly. Yeah,
DJ Church.
Gethin Jenkins or Sheridan or Joe Marlow.
Like, Adam Jones. Nothing, man!
Well, actually, Adam Jones could qualify, because he's very good at pushing, but also very boring.
Well, I actually had Adam Jones down, and I thought you were really going to contest this, but because he is such a good scrimmager, Wales use it as an attacking weapon to try and win penalties, and that makes the game so boring.
I'll go with you, Phil.
I struggled for Lucid. I had three tight heads.
Well, I had Julian White.
Oh yeah, he's boring.
God, he was boring.
You play that clip of Adam Jones from the Wales France game.
Yes, please.
When Alan Rowland says, "What's going on over this side of the scrum?"
What's going on this side? Come on.
Nothing, man. And hooker.
Can I hear music?
Yeah.
All right, so.
It's in your head.
Yeah.
The voice is in your head.
I had Robin McBride.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Oh, he was dull. Yeah, apparently he was the second strongest man in Wales. Who cares?
I had Andrew Hoare.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Because in such an exciting attacking team, he's so boring. He's just
he's very good shout.
Functional, and he's got that boring geography teacher moustache.
Would you count Anthony Fianga in that kind of mould?
Yeah,
because he looks like he should be. He looks like he should be the Maya Nonu of
Maya Nonu.
Maya Nonu. More Nonu. Sorry, of hookers. But he's not.
Yeah, he's another good shout. He's very dull to watch.
Let's move into the row.
Lewis Deacon. Now we're talking.
Yeah, Lewis Deacon is boring.
Oh, my God. The one which I love, James Hudson. What a boring player. Stands by a ruck, puts up his... Oh, hang on. No. Let's just ignore the ruck inspecting for a minute. Did anyone see his very novel way of defending driving mauls? It was hilarious.
That was good. Getting walked over the try line whilst holding onto Northampton's leg.
There's two of them. Right. So, like, one of them, it could be an accident. Two of them were being dragged along the floor whilst holding onto legs. I thought they're clearly training this brand new technique.
It was Ross Moriarty and James Hudson dangling onto Samu Manoa's legs as he carried them both over the line.
Incredible power from the Northampton pack.
They've just been dragged along like a dead weight.
Second row was, I think, you could pick virtually any second row. There's so many boring ones.
Will James?
Oh, yeah.
Tom Palmer?
Yeah.
Oh, Tom Palmer.
Richie Gray?
Yeah, I thought of him, but then he can run a little bit.
Yeah, he's got a pretty... When he does run and offload, he runs with the ball in one hand like a basketball player and offloads around people's backs and stuff.
How about Craig Quinnell?
We could have Martin Corey in there as well.
Oh, yes. Martin Corey's in my
back row. Put him at six. Corey at six. Deacon second row with Hudson.
Yeah,
Hudson's dull.
Yeah, Hudson.
The ruck inspector.
Who have you got in...
Good player, let's be fair.
Who?
Good player. Hudson.
Hudson?
Good player.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Why?
Of course he's a good player.
Why?
He is a good
Hang
player.
Hang on.
Good line-out specialist.
Oh, you mean he's light?
The ruck inspector. We'll move on.
Louis Spencer's light.
Hold on, you turned into Alex Goode. Martin Corey in the back row with who?
Right.
Okay, I've got Jordan Crane.
Wow, is we just picking Leicester? Is this more to do with the way they play?
Maybe.
I had James Haskell.
Maybe, actually, because he doesn't... You think with his size he's going to be this incredible ball carrier. He doesn't do anything.
He's not a good ball carrier.
He doesn't do much on the breakdown and such. Yeah. He's very heavy. He's very strong.
Yeah, heavy and strong in the gym.
Ryan Jones?
Yeah, Ryan Jones is...
What does Ryan Jones do? He picks up and gets tackled after he kind of half breaks a tackle.
Normally gets knocked backwards. The only time I've ever seen him go forward is in the Lions tour to New Zealand when he was playing the midweek teams and he looked incredible.
He did, actually.
Playing against some carpenter from Wellington.
Yeah, a furniture removal man.
Yeah.
Joe Worsley?
Oh, no, he was just nuts. Yeah. He was the Jack Berger of his day.
Yeah. I take that back, actually.
Yeah.
But mind you, he wasn't as active as Jack Berger, who, you know, goes hunting for things. He would just stand in the way of Jamie Robertson.
I'm just going to put my head in the way of this 18-stone brute coming
my
way.
And also, I always think of Joe Worsley as... a little boy holding Lawrence Lalu's hand round the field. All his career, he was like Lawrence Lalu's shadow.
I had Jordan Crane in because he wears that bright blue headguard. Yeah. And when he first came on the scene, he had the big shocker blonde hair and he had loads of offloads and stuff. But he doesn't really do that. He just trucks it up. Crane, Haskell, Corrie?
Yeah, I'd go for that.
Oh, God, yeah. Scrum half is really difficult to pick because there aren't really many boring scrum halves. I'm going for Andy Nicol.
Yeah, there's a few Scottish ones.
Oh, this feels like such a cruel 15 now we're actually doing it. It feels like we're being really personal. No,
don't worry about that,
Tim. Let's keep it about their style of play, not about them as people.
Are you having one of these guys round for dinner, Tim?
No, I just think we should keep it about the rugby. If you find their style of rugby a bit, which I would go, you know, Martin Corrie, he was an international, quality player, nice. England captain, an exceptional player, pragmatic.
In a terrible, terrible time to be England captain.
Yeah, I know, that's there's no doubt about that, but he was in a World Cup winning squad on the bench.
Considering that Corrie has worn the sixth shirt for Leicester in England, which someone like Tom Croft has worn, if Martin Corrie gets the ball in the 13 channel,
oh no,
what's he going to do compared to Tom Croft?
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to crash it up. He's going to give you front football that's going to be a good platform to play, but he's not going to take on the man on the outside and go 40 yards.
If he's surrounded by players, he's going to crush it up and give you 3 yards. Mm-hmm. If he's got open space, he's going to crush it up and give you 3 yards. That's what he does.
Yeah, agreed.
So let's keep it. Let's not make it personal like Haskell and his personal life. Let's keep it about the rugby. Scrum half then.
I've gone Andy Nicol.
I've gone Wigglesworth.
Oh, that's a great one. Definitely Wigglesworth.
Because he's a good player, but he's never going to make that break like Danny Kaye. He's going to be solid. Kick well, distribute well. But
he was described as the best kicking nine, which is a sad indictment. Yeah, Wigglesworth.
Tim? Yeah, done. 10.
I've got loads. So.
Rob Andrew back in the day.
Yeah.
Not as boring as Neil Jenkins. Neil Jenkins would set his feet in the ground and either wing it or wait for a penalty and kick it. That's what he would do. World class at both those things. Dan Parks?
That's a good Dan Parks.
I had
Neil Jenkins.
I had Neil Jenkins down as well, but I also had Mone Steyn, potentially.
Oh, good.
Your pick of South Africans. Yeah. John Stransky.
No, even more boring. Bram van Straaten. Do you remember him?
For the talent that these guys have outside them, their primary objective when they get the ball in their hands is to kick it as high as they possibly
can. Especially Bram van Straaten. Oh, please put him...
Bram van Straaten in at 10. We could accommodate... We could just carry Jenkins at 15, like the Lions did in 97. Yeah. Let's carry Jenkins, just to kick us to victory.
Do you want to do wings first or centres?
Let's go wings.
Okay. Where do we start?
How about Sean Lamont?
Okay. Shane Horgan.
Yes. In terms of a style, he's not the sort of winger.
Oh my God.
If you can pick a winger, and fair enough, Grand Slam winner.
Yeah.
Or not Grand Slam winner, but Six Nations Championship winner.
Heineken Cup winner.
But Irish international. But if you were going to pick a winger you could pick, you would not go for someone in the mould of Shane Horgan.
Yeah, and not only
effective
that.
Effective as he was.
When you think of really exciting commentary, and you think of like when commentators get excited, it's Sexton, it's O'Driscoll, Horgan. It just doesn't flow. Corny.
You're not going to go,
exciting.
What an incredible step, and he's taking him on the outside, Shane Horgan.
The man's a maverick.
No. It's more like, he's run through him from 5 yards out.
Oh, he's in touch. He's in touch. similar vein, David James.
Yeah.
Very boring.
He had some gas back in the day, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Halidine Luscombe.
Oh, he's a centre, wasn't he?
We played wing for Wales, but he could be centre, so we can move him around.
Yeah.
And the worst of the worst, as far as I'm concerned, Kenny Logan.
That's who I've got written down.
Yeah.
Oh,
Logan.
No, Kenny Logan's playing.
Had a great career. Again, won the Heisman Cup.
A winger that makes his living by kicking. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that.
What about Halfpenny?
Is it fullback?
No. Do you have an issue with that?
He is quite boring, though, Halfpenny.
Yeah, he is quite boring because his primary purpose is to kick him from anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah,
Adam Jones and Lee Halfpenny is Wales's game plan. That's probably worth 9 points a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are consistent with Halfpenny though, which is, I think we all agree that good runner, good kicker, good tackler, great in the high ball, can't pass.
Yeah, the interception try against Italy is a great example of that.
Not only should Kenny Logan be on the wing and start for this team, he should captain it.
Kenny Logan and Shane Horgan on the wings. Fullback Neil Jenkins.
Yeah. Carry Neil Jenkins at 15.
I think we should carry Neil Jenkins in the way that the Lions did in 97.
Can you think of a less exciting attacking threat than Neil Jenkins joining the line at 15?
Neil Jenkins gets the ball in some space at 15.
Oh, he's got Shane Horgan outside him.
But Martin Corey's inside.
12 and 13 then.
I've gone for an England pairing of Jamie Noone and Mike Tindall.
Yeah, Jamie Noone's got to be in there. Yeah.
Mike Tindall, is that a bit harsh?
Nope, absolutely not.
Probably. It's very pragmatic and functional, but would Will Greenwood have had the space and time and options?
Will Greenwood is wonderful...
Had there not been the threat of Mike Tindall running that hard line?
Yeah, it's one-dimensional.
I've also got Kerry Sweeney to slot in at 12, although more of a 10. But he has played... I think he's even played 12 for Wales. And my word, is that an inspired choice?
That back line is pretty special. A back line of Richard Wigglesworth at 9... the kicking scrum half outside to the big Gary Owen kicking Bram van Straten at 10.
Oh, Bram was...
Tindall and Noone both hitting hard straight lines in the centre.
I mean, Noone's case probably knocking it on.
Occasionally releasing the wingers of Shane Horgan and Kenny Logan.
Oh, the only way the ball's getting out there is he's kicked by one of the ball players.
I'm waiting for Adam Jones to win a scrum penalty. Neil Jenkins at fullback. Wow. That's a brilliant back.
Brendan Laney on the bench as an impact sub in case anything gets too exciting.
And in the forwards, Adam Jones. Again, we're not making any comment on the quality of these players. We're saying these are all high quality players. They've just not got the kind of game plan that you would necessarily regard as exciting. Adam Jones, Robin McBride, and Julian White in the front row. Second row of Lewis Deacon, and James Hudson. And a back row of Martin Corey, Jordan Crane, and James Haskell.
Oof.
Pretty special, that.
It fills me with nothingness, which is exactly what it should do.
Well, there's our Dream 15. If you've got anyone you want to add, because we're undoubtedly going to miss someone, because by the very nature of the Boring 15, someone is going to just not have cropped up in our mind. So at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, let us know. Now, finally... Final job on this podcast, and this is something else, much like the Honey Badger. This is something that JB's been badgering us for weeks to do, but we've always run out of time. JB wants to make some law changes.
Right, so, if anyone follows...
Oh, hold on a minute, do you know what? I feel like I should get some music for this. I've got the theme for LA Law here. This is a nice bit of sax there, nice bit of 80s sax.
I've never heard this tune in my life.
So it was in the early 1990s, it was about a law firm in Los Angeles. Go on.
Have you got any Ally McBeal? That's probably better.
Hold on a minute.
I don't know what Ally McBeal sounds
Ally
like.
Ally McBeal theme. Hold on. Ally McBeal theme. Is that the Ally McBeal theme?
No idea, I've never heard it. It is.
Go on then. What laws are you going to change rugby?
We're getting rid of the knock-on, okay? And I know to the purists that sounds awful, but it's going to go.
You're getting rid of the knock-on.
There will be no more knock-ons. So, how will this work? Well, for a start, there will still be a knock-on. A deliberate knock-on will still be disallowed. However, an accidental knock-on will result in a play-on.
Right, I think I'm going to play something else at this point. This is probably what a lot of people are thinking at this point. It's what I'm thinking, JB.
Okay.
Getting rid of the knock-on, what?
Bear with me, okay? So this is how my rule would work. If you knock on intentionally or accidentally within in the opposition 5-metre zone, if you like, it's the traditional rules. If it's any other position on the field, it's a play-on. If, however, it's a deliberate knock-on, you will be shown a yellow card immediately, which is the proper use of the yellow card. Now, bear with me. Getting rid of knock-ons will, A, increase the amount of time the ball is in play, B, make players fitter and smaller, and C, because of those two things, might just save the scrimmage.
I refer you to my earlier comment.
When Jay first mentioned this to me, I think I had exactly the same reaction. But the more I think about this, the more I like it.
It makes a lot of sense.
The majority of the times when there's a knock-on, the defending team, the team that didn't knock on, get the advantage. It's only one in ten, something like that, where the attacking team will actually gain any advantage. So it's never going to be used tactically. And if it is, it's a deliberate knock-on and it's a yellow card.
Exactly.
And it does, like Jay said, keeps the ball in play. You get longer passage of play, you'll get more broken field running, and it'll speed everything up and reduce the scrimmage, which is a huge problem.
So less scrums, hopefully less powerful scrums, and we get to save our beloved scrums from those health and safety vultures. So it might actually make sense for the entire game.
What happens, right, it's your team, it's a really, really important game, it's the last minute of the match, and 12... passes to 13, who knocks it on, that makes the ball trickle through his opposite number's legs going forward, and the winger who was outside him ready as a support runner picks up the ball, runs it 20 metres to score a try.
Interesting you bring this up, because if it was that simple, people would be using little grubber kicks. But it's invariably, it isn't
it's
that simple.
It's not that simple, yeah.
To throw the ball in front of you towards the opposition. Because if you've not got hold of the ball, there's no real advantage. If it was that easy, they'd be gribbling through all the time.
And it would happen as frequently as, say, a bomb goes up, one of the team taps it back, and the attacking team just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and it falls into their hand with no one around them. It might happen occasionally, but it would be very few and far between, and to the same frequency as other freak tries.
It could also be a rule where if a try was scored immediately following a knock-on, whether it's and take away the 5 metre arbitrary 5 metre rule, then that could be a cause for advantage.
You have to go through a phase of play
before you score.
So that zeroes the knock-on.
That actually could work. I mean, I've not thought it all through yet. I will admit,
but actually, it's a maverick suggestion. I'll give you that.
If you think about all the various things that they've changed in the past, like you can bring down a maul, you can't bring down a maul, you can use your hands in a ruck, you can't. This is a ruck. That's a ruck.
Some of the stuff they're trialling in the South Africa Varsity Cup at the moment. Yeah. They're trialling you can mark the ball anywhere on the pitch. That's no more maverick, I don't think, than no knock-ons.
I mean, you still got forward pass.
So what's the purpose of that? To try and stop people from using the kick?
Yeah.
It annoys me. The Six Nations, this is the one thing I would say about the Six Nations, is, and just in general, actually, the style of rugby at the minute, I always wonder, what is the point in an up and under when the kick only goes forward 15 metres?
Well,
I tell you what,
when you had the ball, what is the point?
They're almost looking for the opposition to make a mistake,
exactly.
Because they win the scrimmage. But I think that actually the minor rule would disincentivise that, because you could go up and you could kind of scramble for it. And, you know, when it comes down, it comes down. You'd struggle to call that deliberate. And also another thing is, my deliberate knock-on rule, it already exists. See Leicester against Newcastle this weekend. Two yellow cards for deliberate knock-ons. Mm. So that rule is already there. So anyone who says, well, how do you differentiate between a deliberate knock-on and not a deliberate knock-on?
So going back another one, like a really, really good example, London Irish, last minute of the match against Leicester at home, and Jeb Sinclair, or Trevor Anus, or one of the players, was trying to pick it up.
And he got kicked out of his hands.
It kind of got kicked out of his hands, / it was given as a knock-on. Then the next player picked it up and scored. You'd say that's fair enough.
No, because it's in the 5 metre line.
What about if he'd run from 6 metres?
I think that's different anyway, because there was a boot involved, wasn't there?
There was a boot involved in that situation. But actually, what is the advantage to watching a game where, and you see it sometimes, where the scrum half might knock on at the back of a ruck? I mean, there's no advantage for the spectators to see a scrimmage happen.
Yeah, stopped, reset, you take a minute and a half to get it.
This would definitely make props smaller.
because they'd have to be fitter because the ball's in play. Rather than 35 minutes a game, it would be in play 50-odd minutes
a game. Yeah, I was going to say, think of some of these massive guys. Think of Adam Jones. Yeah. Suddenly, he would be, he wouldn't be right for the modern game. Mm. Wow. And much like Phil, I'm not totally sold. I've still got some little grey areas and some questions. But the principle, rather than just thinking you're off your head, I can see the merits of it. I can.
Yeah. Like most of JB's arguments, third person, all my ideas just need a little bit of explaining and then you'll see the genius involved.
Well, tell us what you think. Knock on? Get rid of it? Is there anything else you can add to JB's manifesto at Rugby Podcast on Twitter? Well, there we go. It's a nice little debating point to end to end the podcast on. Just a matter of having a song to play us out now before we go.
Yeah, go for the Honey Badger.
Just time for us to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the comments on iTunes. Keep downloading, tell your mates, and keep telling us what you reckon at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
And thank you. Here is Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger, celebrating World Music Day with his Western Force teammate and singing a little bit of Peter Andre.
G'day, folks. Live from Scarborough Beach, the Honey Badger and Golden Eagle. Now, we've put a little something together for the International Music Day. Sit back, relax, put your belt on, and enjoy the show. Mysterious girl, move your back close to mine.
Said it was short and sweet. Hardly anything of it, but it was beautiful. That's the Honey Badger. We're out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.